It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, having a lot of fun and really a lot of education here with Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. He has a great website called BibleBasedCounselor.com. And the last few shows, we've been talking about the issue of life perspectives. But first of all, hi, Daniel.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good, really good. Good to see you again. I'm learning a lot, and I think our listeners are as well, about kind of the basics for counseling and how they are Bible-based and get back to issues that we kind of know and and I think intuitively understand. But you put a lot of work into some of these ideas and really expanded on them. Tell us again real quick these buzzwords you mention a lot, value, control, and power.
Yeah, just value, control, and power. So we just did a review from our last segment. And so people are listening again, and hopefully they're being able to put some of this together, and it's helpful to them. Value, control, and power, those represent to us security. They're kind of more immediate, more tangible terms. And when we think of security, that's a pretty broad term. And when I talk to people and coaching people and counseling people about moving through life and establishing confidence and, what I call a larger world perspective, which we'll talk about a little bit more today.
your world is either getting larger or smaller.
Yeah.
And hopefully we want it to get larger.
Yeah. That's right. Want our worldview to get larger. So the value, control, and power that's really the essence of the pursuit. It's maybe hard to, in a moment of time, think about my world getting larger. Although I've actually coached people, and I do that myself, use certain mottos or sayings to kind of check myself. When I feel that I'm emotionally or somewhat out of balance, and I say, your world is getting too small, or you need to make your world larger, or what are you afraid of? What are you ashamed of? These are things that people learn, and it helps them to kind of check the progression that we have maybe talked about before, that goes from belief, emotion, behavior, belief, emotion, behavior, belief, emotion, behavior. Mm-hmm. So I can catch myself, oh, that was a bad behavior. Why did I do that? Well, it was because of an emotion. Well, where did the emotion come from? It came from a belief. So once we're on that, in that progression, sometimes it happens so fast. Mm. You know, I was on my way into the radio show here, and sign up had said left lane closing or right lane closing, so I have to get over. So I put my signal on, and this guy just gunned it to come up there. You know, and I, man, and then I thought, well, that was his behavior.
Right.
But I also had a behavior that came from an emotion. What was the emotion about? A belief about my relationship to that person and what it said to me when he wouldn't let me get in. Mm. So we can, but all I don't need to understand all those things if I just say, hold it. Stop the behavior. My world is getting too small.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
let's explain that a little bit this week too. The pursuit from shame and fear toward value, control, and power.
Mm-hmm.
And also this, the small world versus the larger world, the terms body perspective, external perspective, and eternal perspective.
Yeah.
Kind of flesh out what you mean by this.
Yeah. Let's start, first of all, with the, kind of going over again, the fear and the shame and the fact that we all have fear and we all have shame. And nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be afraid of, except the fact that we have fear and shame. And the fear is, of course, easily to associate that with, we need security, we need safety. And, of course, as Christians, we have that sense that we have security, we have safety. But let's face it, we don't plug into that all the time, and that's why we have these emotional ups and downs,
Right.
So things that we know, but we have to convert them into life experience and kind of a continual presence of mind. So fear is easy. Shame, well, that's an internalized message of lack of worth, and that's in the drinking water. If we've talked about that before. We can be ashamed of things we've done, things that we feel guilty about. We can feel shame about that. But why did we do things that we would feel guilty and ashamed of? It's because I already have shame in me, and that shame is something that's kind of in the drinking water. It's an internalized message of lack of worth. And we talked last week about how that probably ultimately has to do with the fact that we know we live in view of a creator God who is holy and awesome, and we're not.
There you go.
You know, so it probably starts there, because I've tried to track it back to the cavemen in the caves, and what would they have done to feel shame about? Unless there's a basic sense of potential shame there to begin with, shame would never have a meaning.
And you mentioned too how only humans have this.
Yeah.
Animals don't.
Yeah, and I've had people argue with me. No, my dog's ashamed. You know, if he comes in the room and he's known he's done something wrong, right. He cowers. But that's not the same thing. That's not an internalized message of lack of worth, because in order to have an internalized message of lack of worth, you have to have a value system. What is the worth relative to? What you know, worth as a dog? A dog can't...
Well, the dog is then just guilty,
yeah.
Right? He's not ashamed, but he's guilty.
He's guilty. And what they sense is you know, they're not being coddled. They're not being... So I don't know. Maybe they sense the, you know, kind of a sense of rejection, but it's not based in shame like what are... It's not an internalized message of lack of worth relative to some value system or currency that I comprehend. So they don't have that depth of thought.
Right.
You know, we're talking about value, control, and power, and how that these are the more immediate things. So I think, okay, in order to get away from shame and fear, I have to increase my sense of value, control, and power. Are these obvious? Of course. If I'm speaking, I feel ashamed. I feel I have an internalized message of lack of worth. Well, then I have to increase my sense of value. Now that makes sense. I fear I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the bully in the playground, or I'm afraid of, you know, the news, and I'm afraid of, you know, or I'm afraid of, you know, finances, or afraid that the, you know, the well's going to quit pumping or whatever. Afraid of those things. What do I need? Well, I need some control over things. You know, that would take care of that. You know, fear, and I need some resources. So those things, value, control, and power, are our answer to fear and shame. So in life, we're trying to get away from fear and shame, because those don't feel good, and we're trying to move toward value, control, and power. So this life perspectives is really, it really defines three basic ways. You could break them down into more, but I like three. It's simple. It gets us through it. Maslow had five. They weren't as useful, I think, if you know something about Maslow. He basically had a static model. He's basically saying this is what's happening. What I'm explaining here is this is why it's happening, and, you know, in a sense, why it's happening, but this is what it feels like when it's happening. This is what happens to your relationships when it's happening. This is what happens to your emotions when it's and your behaviors. And this is what we must do to grow, and, you know, and really why we must enlarge our world perspective. So there's that pursuit toward value, control, and power away from shame and fear. Someone said it simply, we are pain avoiding, pleasure seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we'd all say that that's a truism about our
I think that's
reality.
That's the human condition.
Yeah.
Well, and then these models here, you say getting the immediate gratification, mm-hmm. the body perspective.
Yeah, so if you can envision kind of like a target that you've seen a lot, if you've ever been bowing and arrow hunting or throwing darts, and there's a small center, and then there's a large, and they get, you know, progressively larger. We just have one small central circle, and that is going to be the life perspective that we call the body perspective. And then we have one just outside of that, that we're trying to move toward a larger world perspective. So we're trying to move to that next circle. And that next circle is about the pursuit of value, control, and power through acquisitions and achievement. So the smallest one, body perspective, that's I'm pursuing value, control, and power through immediate gratification.
That's the most self-focused.
And mm-hmm. at that point, you know, Mark, we're almost living like animals. We're answering mm-hmm. our immediate gratifications, our desires, our, I don't want to say instincts, but we're just desires and moods and...
just being driven by this.
Kind
of locked in this this cycle. We know it's wrong. This is mm-hmm. this is the level, though, where people go and see you,
mm-hmm.
and they know they're locked in that little
yeah,
world.
Yeah, that's probably the majority of mm-hmm. people that feel trapped in that. And it can involve other things, but that, you know, to in a very general sense, that would probably define most of the people that go to some sort of counseling for addiction recovery, or they realize that they don't have any relationships. They realize that, you know, they have no options, no choices in life, and so we find that, yeah, a lot of that is that they've been living in that smallest world perspective. So now they want to get out and they want to grow their world, is the terms that I put it in. So they move on to what I call the external perspective. It's outside of my own self. So now, one of the practical things that we can see is when I'm living outside myself, I'm running into other people. In the body perspective, there are other people, but I'm pushing them away. And, you know, a lot of people in addictions, they will look at other people as either a mark or a threat. They're either somebody that I get something from or somebody that's going to take something from me.
It's going to stand in the way of my fun.
Right. And so in that sense, we don't really relate to people in healthy ways. So when we move out into external perspective, we're at least relating to people. So you can imagine, you know, at work, I have relationships. Now, they're not intimate relationships. And there's still relationships where there's competition, because in the external perspective, I'm pursuing my sense of value, control, and power through acquisitions and achievements. What I get, what I build, that's who I am. That defines my value. And so people are always competition. And, you know, I like my friends, but I don't like the fact that he's got, you know, a better car. I'm going to have to work a little harder. And, you know, so we tend to form friends or form business relations with people that don't threaten us and make us feel, you know, kind of common. So a lot of times it's people a bit beneath, you know, or people maybe on a peer level, but certainly not people who threaten us or that sort of thing. So acquisitions and achievements involve other people, but certainly not in some intimate, what I'd call shared being sense. And then we want to move to, we aspire to move one more perspective out, where I call the eternal perspective. And that eternal perspective, I've also called it the transcendent perspective, because I see clients who are not Christians and not believers, and so the eternal makes them think that I'm preaching to them. So I, you know, but basically, this is a perspective where I realize Maslow would have said self-actualization. He would have said this is where you discover the meaning of your life. But what I've discovered is when a person discovers the meaning of his or her life, it's always about somebody else. To be happy in life, you have to ultimately come to the place where you realize that life is not about you, and that you are a person to be shared. In fact, I tell people, your experience of yourself is really your experience of other people experiencing you. Mm-hmm. So that healthy sense of self, we have to be engaged with people, you know.
Relationships with yourself and with others, that's kind of more the ultimate that we're looking for, and looking for answers. And people need help, and they come to people like you, Daniel Pryor. This is Sound Mind Radio. We're listening, and Daniel's expressing some very interesting thoughts today. His website is BibleBasedCounselor.com. Also, you can read some of his great articles. Tell us more about the article website.
Yeah, ChristianCounselorsForum.com. I started writing articles way back in 2000 or a bit before, and actually had a mailing list of some 200 pastors down in Pierce County. And then when I moved up to King County, kind of put that online instead of mailing out. And so there are articles there. Some of them date back to 2000, you know, now that my writing style has changed a bit. But I hope that some of those are still really good and really helpful for people. So you find like a different splattering of things. They're not all on mental health, so some of them are on different, you know, kind of somewhat related. There's a good article right now, The Process or The Purpose of Marriage. And it refers to a couple of great, I think, thoughts. So one on, you know, one of the process of marriage, how to deal with trust and forgiveness and communication. Mm-hmm. And then also a link to the marriage debate, what it's been, gay marriage, straight marriage, what that debate has all been about. And just maybe some interesting insights into that. So ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
ChristianCounselorsForum.com. Of course, also BibleBasedCounselor.com. This is Sound Mind. We will return with more of Daniel Pryor's wonderful thinking on the subjects that we're talking about today here on KCIS.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, a wonderful conversation on Sound Mind today with Daniel Pryor. Remember, he has offices in Edmonds and Bellevue. His website is BibleBasedCounselor.com. Interesting discussion this week on the subject of, is your world either getting larger or smaller? And Daniel, you were telling us about the body perspective, the external perspective, and what we ultimately want to go toward, the eternal perspective, mm-hmm. which is the largest circle and enlarging our lives. Yeah. Let's rehash this a little bit and go over this. There's some interesting emotions and behaviors that come out of each one of these categories.
Yeah, I've said to people that you're either angry or surrendered. And I've had some interesting feedback on that, but actually I had one man who was a moderator, a professional mediator, and we were having a chat, and I brought that up, and he thought, no, I don't think that's true. I think there are other things in life. But he came back a couple weeks later, and he said, boy, I've been thinking about that, and that is absolutely true. You know, in life, you're either, you know, there's a broad description or definition of anger, and that is it's a fear-based defense mechanism associated with the gain or loss of value, control, and power, which we've talked a lot about. So we can pursue value, control, and power. In fact, we must. Who doesn't want to have value? I mean, even in the sight of God, who doesn't want to have value and control over my own behaviors and my, you know, thoughts and that's kind of, you know, so who doesn't want to have those things? But it can easily be fear-based, and then it's self-centered. And there are other things we'll talk about in shows to come, living in the past versus living in the future. All these things are tied together. In our perspectives, we've got the body perspective, which is that smallest world I can live in, and that's all about me. And that's a regressive anger.
Now, why do you call that a regressive anger?
Again, anger is a fear-based defense mechanism associated with gain or loss of value, control, and power. So that's exactly what that is. Addictive behaviors, pushing people away, retreating into a smaller life where it's all about me is fear-based. It's shame-based. And it has to do with loss or lack of value, control, and power. Okay, so you can see that. And regressive anger, because it's not attacking other people, it's a retreat. So it's at people. Some people have described shame, for example, as anger toward yourself, or depression as anger toward yourself, and anxiety as anger toward others.
Mm-hmm. You know? And you have on here shame, depression, hopelessness, blaming yourself, failure.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, you can see how those are toward myself. Regression, I'm receding away from people and regressing, withdrawing. Depression is this is kind of a confusing thing. When people go for counseling for depression, they are most always going for counseling for anxiety, because logically, if you weren't worried about it, you wouldn't go. And worry is anxiety.
Yeah.
And depression, people who are truly depressed don't care. They've given up. So there's always a bit of anxiety when they're medicating depression. 85% of the time they're medicating anxiety as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very few times do you see a person who's just in counseling who's just simply depressed, because they won't get out of bed to come to counseling. They don't care that much. They have to worry a little bit. So depression is an inward anger. That's, you know, that is getting as bad as it can get. Hopelessness, as opposed to when we, you know, if we look under the external, let's compare them. The external perspective, that's aggressive anger. So the body perspective, regression. The eternal perspective, aggression.
External perspective.
External perspective, aggression. So it's regression versus aggression. Body perspective, shame. External perspective, guilt. Okay. Body perspective, depression. Hopelessness, excuse me. Depression, anxiety. Body perspective, depression. external perspective, anxiety, body perspective. I'm going to stop saying perspective. Body, hopelessness, external, helplessness. The difference between the two?
Yeah.
Hopelessness is there's no hope. So I can say there's no hope, and you say, well, Dan, let me give you a hand. And I would say, well, you can if you want, but I don't care because it's not going to make any difference. You can't make something out of nothing. Helplessness is I could do something, but I need help, and other people aren't helping me, so it's their fault.
Mm. Yeah, I can see how that is externally aggressive.
Yeah, yeah, so that's toward other people. Body, blaming myself. It's me, it's me. External, blaming others. Body, failure. I'm a failure. External, I'm failing. And the difference there is, like, I like to look at, like, the an example of my lawn. If I let my lawn grow till it's like about 8 inches high, I go out there and I say, I'm failing. But if it gets to be a couple feet high, then I say, it's not that I'm failing, it's that I'm a failure. Mm. So there's, again, hopelessness versus helplessness.
Right.
You know?
Interesting distinction.
Yeah.
Well, and we are moving for the pursuit. What is it, what does growing your world look like then?
Yeah.
Toward the eternal perspective.
So we can look at... growing your world looks, we've just kind of talked about growing your world from the small perspective to the external perspective. You can see your emotions change, even the bad emotions change. And then eventually, when we're kind of the emotions of what we want to, what we aspire toward, the external perspective, the emotions would be, the fruits of the Spirit again, basically.
Yeah.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. And I didn't just... put those down there because they were convenient. I actually thought through what would my life look like if I were totally surrendered. You know, what would be my emotions? You know, I know what my emotions are like when I'm striving to be better than other people. There's aggression, there's guilt, there's anxiety, there's hopelessness, or, you know, different kinds of anger like that. So we can look at those three different kinds of emotion sets. And there's another thing we can look at, and that's behavior. If we start over here in the body perspective, back in that smallest, you know, it says we attempt to distance and disassociate from the loss of value, control, and power. In the external perspective, okay, so we've retreated. And this model, as we're looking at it, looks like a retreat, because let's say we're in the external perspective and, you know, we're competing, trying to keep up with the Joneses and, you know, have the best, you know, job and the, you know, the best friends and the best church and the best worship service and the best of everything. But we're failing. And so we give up. And so we wind up back in the body perspective. We retreat back to the smaller. And here we attempt to distance and disassociate from that loss of control and value that we lost from that external perspective. We're no longer there, by self-medicating in different ways. It could be drugs, alcohol, sex, TV, eating, sleeping, you know, compulsive spending, even working out can be in some ways an anger behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a response toward, I can't have that or can't have that, but I'm going to have the biggest muscles of anybody on the block or something like that. You know, so it can be like a regressive kind of, or even, you know, working out can be. There's an overlap here, obviously, and we're seeing that. So in the external perspective, here's where we attempt to establish control, power, and value through an immortality, through acquiring and achieving. Now, this is aggressive anger, so we're forced to do this if we fail to comprehend a higher perspective. We fail to establish security and mortality. We're forced to retreat back to this, external perspective. And if we fail here, we'll retreat even further to that, you know. So as an example, one time, Mark, I was working with a family where the kid had stopped going to school, and he hadn't gone to school for a long time, and they had threatened him with all kinds of empty guns, you know, the Beckabill or all these kinds of things. He said, I don't care. You know, throw me in kids' jail. You know, that'd be fun. I got some friends there. So they couldn't do anything with him. So, of course, the last thing they do is send a social worker out or, you know, a caseworker. So I was out there in the early days, and I'm going to be graphic here. I went in there. First thing I noticed was the fence was broken down and the grass was extremely high, and there was a mower out in the middle of the grass that hadn't worked for a long, long time. The garbage cans were tipped over. So the first thing I knew was these people don't own their yard or their fence. It's not part of their world. They live in a smaller world. So I went inside the house. the dishes hadn't been done for weeks. I mean, there was stuff growing on them. They were all over, stacking on the floor, stacked by the sink. The laundry had cascaded from the laundry room out, and it was being tracked through the house. I said, okay, they don't live in their kitchen. Their world is smaller. It's not part of their world either. I went into the bathroom, and the dog had done his business on the floor in there, and they don't... The bathroom isn't part of there. I went into the living room where they were watching TV and eating pizza, and there were piles of dog leavings on feces on the floor. And the floor in the living room where they're sitting, that's not even part of their world. So he's retreated back. These people retreated back to where it's immediate gratification, TV and pizza. Now, what has to happen for him to turn around? He's got to achieve some things. Somebody in that family has to recognize that the floor is going to be part of my world. I'm going to clean the floor. And that's going to be part of my world. That's going to be a sense. That's where I'm going to get my value, control, and power, a clean floor. But then they realize that, oh, well, now there's the kitchen. Now they have a choice. I either have to retreat again or keep moving. So the kitchen's going to be part of my world. I'm going to clean the dishes. And then they see the laundry room. Oh, now there's that decision time again. And then eventually the house, inside of the house, is part of their world. That's where they get their value, control, and power. Now they look outside and they say, that's a mess outside. I got to cut that. And first thing you know, they now own the yard. And then the next thing is, I got to get back to school. And now he's enlarging his world. But at some point, even enlarging my world and achieving, acquiring, hopefully, we realize at some point that there's got to be something beyond just achieving and acquiring. And that's where we enter into that eternal perspective, that there's something transcendent of my life and my existence and what I achieve and what I build.
We want to get larger in our worldview, out to the eternal perspectives. That sounds to me like a healthy life, a healthy mind, a sound mind, as the program's called. If you're intrigued by some of the thoughts of Daniel Pryor today, again, go to his website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Now, you are a counselor and a life coach, and you see people on a regular basis at your offices in Edmonds and Bellevue. And your the website where you've written some things, what's that website again?
ChristianCounselorsForum.com.
ChristianCounselorsForum.com. It's great thoughts. Great. I would really like to have this. Can we get this available on your website, or is it?
I think I can get that at the website. I've updated that. I had a professional man that I had counseled that reduced that down and covered it and had a fold on his life perspectives folded on his desk just to look at to remind him of.
This is a great little one sheet. So maybe you can go to his website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. He'll have that for you there soon. Great thoughts today, Daniel Pryor.
Thank you, Mark.
And Sound Mind.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.